Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host and regular partner in ministry here at the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, is away from the studio today, but in his place we have a special guest. And Dr. Tony Fox, you have been with us on the broadcast on a number of other occasions, and most recently in our last broadcast, you were here talking about an exciting new ministry that the Lord has given you.
Yes, this is all that the Lord has, I'd have to say, the Lord has put together, and we are watching this in amazement and just overjoyed that He's allowing us to have a part in this. It is with the underground church in China, specifically trying to provide training for the leaders. They are crying out for ministry training right now, theological training. It's kind of like the Wild West theologically out there. There's a lot of attacks. Yeah. Charismatic practice and doctrine has really started spreading among the churches, and a lot of these leaders just don't know how to fight that.
Now, for those joining us maybe for the first time, we're talking about China, and we're talking about a nation that really, according to what you're hearing, has between 90 and 100 million Christians.
Right.
Which is a little surprising to us.
Yes. Yeah.
And most of those Christians are untaught, and many of them exist in an underground church that is distinct from the established church, and you were explaining to us the nature of that established church.
The established church is communist-run, completely communist-controlled, and the underground church has nothing to do with the established church. In fact, they will try to do things opposite from any ways that the established church does it.
So now, when you think about ministering to this group of believers, I've heard you say in other contexts that you believe God is getting these particular believers ready because the gospel is about to explode in places where to preach the gospel will probably cost them their life.
Right. Well, they themselves have had a burden throughout the last several decades that's been intensifying and spreading in these underground churches. And that is, in their words, to bring the gospel back to Jerusalem. In fact, they wrote a book on this. It's actually been translated into English. And it is, the title is simply Back to Jerusalem. They explain it this way. The gospel started in Jerusalem. It spread westward into Europe, like we read about in the book of Acts. Centuries later, westward across the Atlantic to us here. Then westward across the Pacific to them. And they say they're ready to take it westward now, again, all the way back to where it started, back to Jerusalem. And, in their words, complete the circuit of the Great Commission.
Wow. Now, what do they anticipate it is going to cost them to do this?
Well, if you look at a map, you look at Western China and Jerusalem, what's in between are all these Muslim countries that are so much in the news today. I mean, they are talking about flooding Iran and Iraq with the gospel, and Afghanistan and Pakistan. And the gospel flood is coming to those Muslim countries, and these Muslims don't know it. While they're looking westward, there's going to be this flood from the east coming eventually. And these Chinese Christians, they know that they're going to be martyred. They know they're going to be persecuted because of that. But their answer is, how is this any different than how we've been treated by our own government for the last 50 years? And they point to us Western Christians, and in all humility they say, you're not ready for this stage of the Great Commission. And they're right. We are too soft. They say we look at the crucible we've been in for the last 50 years as God's especially preparing us for this next very difficult stage of the Great Commission.
So as a Western pastor, as a pastor of a church in the Western world, and I would certainly agree with you, Tony, that we are certainly not prepared for, I mean, we look at things that happen to us and count them as suffering that, I mean, they're just really, frankly, laughable.
Right.
When you compare them to what you're describing here. I mean, I'm sure you have examples of suffering from these people that...
Right. Even us Western preachers, when we are with their preachers there, usually we'll end up blubbering when we hear their testimonies. For instance, there was one leader, he's in his 60s, his code name is Ling Er. And he described to us, we asked him to give us an idea of some of the imprisonments and torture he had been through. And it's just unbelievably barbaric stuff. And he endured years of this. In that meeting, his son was also there. His son was 34 years old at the time. And we asked him to give his testimony. And the son told us that he was first arrested and hauled off to one of these prison camps when he was just 17 years old. And when I heard that at the time, my oldest son was 16, about to turn 17, so it struck a little bit of a chord with me. So I looked over at the father, Linger, and I said, I know what it's like to go through something difficult and how much harder it is to watch my own son go through the same thing. So how did you as a father feel when you saw your son arrested at such a young age and taken to one of these prisons and you knew what kind of treatment was waiting for him? And I was really expecting him to say something like, oh, it was very difficult, but God gave me grace. He didn't say anything like that. In fact, if I could put it this way, he said something that didn't even register on my American Christian radar. He looked at me straight in the eye, and he said, the fact that God would so honor my son that way, from the bottom of my heart, it was glorious.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's totally different than how we would think.
Exactly. And that's the kind of Christianity that's there.
I mean, when we get affliction, we think God's punishing us. You know, I mean, our response to trial and our response to long-term affliction is, well, God must be punishing us. And but they're actually saying this is a mark of honor.
Yeah, I mean, just like you read in the book of Acts, just like those men when they first were beaten by the Sanhedrin and they came out, they rejoiced that they were able to suffer for Jesus Christ.
So here's a question to follow up all of this, because, I mean, as a pastor of a Western church, and certainly I would agree in my own life that I'm not at that level, and I'm sure many of our listeners would just kind of shake their head and say, Lord, I don't even think that way.
Mm-hmm.
What part can we have in helping these men?
The beautiful kind of thing we're seeing, the body of Christ coming together and the West with its strength, helping the East with its strength. I mean, our strength in the West is that we have 2,000 years of Christian heritage and Bible knowledge and doctrinal development. There's been a lot of heresies that have come and gone and been hashed through, and the Word of God has been, what the Word of God is really saying has been defined. And so this is our strength. This is what they're crying out for, because they're having all these problems with all this false teaching. Their strength is this kind of very pure, dedicated Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening now is, as we come and try to provide training for them from our strength, different pastors, different college professors, Bible college professors, just being with them, their zeal for Christ, it rubs off on
sure.
us.
Sure. Oh,
you know,
it
excites us. And so what we're actually seeing is the West building up the East and the East building up the West, the body of Christ building itself up to you. And
just like Ephesians talks about.
Yeah.
Now, how does it work? I mean, give me can you talk a little bit about this to
sure.
our listeners? How does it work for you?
Yes. What we do is we bring key leaders out to a location that I have to, of course, keep secret.
Sure.
And we bring them out for a certain amount of time.
I mean, I think you told me that time was a year.
Right. And we will teach them, you know, 52 weeks
wow.
of the year, 30 to 40 hours a week, bringing a different teacher from the States usually each week. And by doing that, we're actually able to get 2.5 years worth of Bible college.
And these men are pastors?
Yes, they're pastors, they're youth workers, they're evangelists, and so then they go back into their...
And they're from all over China.
They're from all over China, right.
And some of them represent fairly large groups.
Right.
And
right.
so I'm assuming they're able to go back and share the
they
material
go back
they got.
And they filter it down their networks and
wow.
provide training. Yeah.
So, I'm trying to put all this together. You bring a guy to this unknown destination, and he's there for 52 weeks. I mean, where does he stay? How do you feed him? How do you take care of him? I mean...
Yeah, well, just generally speaking, which I have to keep it general, is the Lord has provided funds through American churches to be able to do
this. And this is the West helping the East. This is
right.
part that we can play.
Yes, right.
And so you take care of them, you house them, you feed them, and you fly in these American pastors and Bible teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a curriculum that you're teaching them through? Or
we have a curriculum and a kind of scope and as much as possible a sequence of the classes. Basically, we have three categories of classes. We have Bible classes, we have theology classes, and then we have practical ministry classes.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting with the one group that we finished this up with, and at the end as I was doing assessment with them, one of the questions I asked is, out of these three categories, which category to you was the most helpful? And across the board, they said the Bible category. They said, we didn't know the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they love the Bible, and they know they need to obey it, but they don't understand its structure. They
mm-hmm.
don't understand how
mm-hmm.
to interpret it. And so once their eyes are open to the Scriptures and the power of Scriptures, that's what they're most excited about, And that's what they really want to get back into China and ground their churches in the scriptures.
Now, you said you've already taken one group through an entire cycle.
Right.
And how many in the group?
I think I have to leave that number undisclosed.
Okay. But a fairly significant number of guys.
Right, right.
And they're all back now?
They're all back now.
And they got back safely?
Back safely in China and doing some wonderful things, including actually taking what they learned and starting some different locations where they're funneling this knowledge down to others as well.
And I'm assuming that some of these men had families.
Yes, that's right.
So they left their family for an entire year to come get this training.
Right. Interestingly enough, with the first group halfway through, I asked them about their ministries and their families. And all of them across the board said that their ministries are doing fine. Most of them said their families are doing fine because many of them are from rural areas and they live in communes and their families get fed whether they're working there or not.
Sure.
The ones that were having troubles were the ones that were in the cities. After some asking and digging, they confided in me that a couple of their wives were on the roadside trying to sell things to get by during the winter. When I heard this, I said to them, you know, we need to get you back. Your first ministry is to your family. It's no shame not to be able to finish this. And they said to me, Brother Tony, you don't understand. Our wives won't let us come back. And when I asked them why, they said, well, we call every week and we offer to come back, but our wives tell us this is too important for our churches. You stay there.
Wow.
So the Lord will take care of us. Now, we have had some funds come in to help out these wives. So, but even the wives are very dedicated to Jesus Christ.
So let me ask you this. If somebody listening wants to help with this, what is the best way to do that?
If someone would like to help out financially, then they can send a donation with a note of what they'd like for it to go for, whether it's for the training of these men or for the help of their wives, to my mission board, which is Worldwide Tent Makers Incorporated, 423 Towns Street in Greenville, South Carolina, 29601.
Or you could send that same donation to the Word for Life address that will be given to you here in just a moment, and we'll be glad to get it to Dr. Fox and make sure that that goes right to the cause of training these pastors. And what an exciting ministry.
It is.
We rejoice.
We do too. Thank you.
We're so thankful that the Lord called you to this, and you've certainly presented this to our church, and it's been a great blessing, and we're excited to be a small part of it. And we're one of those Western congregations that we're asking the Lord to deepen and to use in that way. And I know that many pastors hearing this will feel the same way. Well, Tony, it's been a delight to have you.
Thank you so
much. And we're praying for you. And hopefully when you get back around this way, we want to have you back on and get an update and see what the Lord is doing. Those of you that would like a download of this broadcast, you may go to the website, www.thewordforlife.org, or you can contact us and we'll be glad to send you a transcript of today's broadcast. Until the next broadcast, may the Lord bless you.